There are stories about what happened.
Kingsbury. Got it. Wilker. First down.
Deep strike. Got the big man. Crabtree. Pulls free. And touchdown. Red Raiders.
It's true. All of it. There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Way to screw shit up, Ryan.
Dude, whether it's an article on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, or the site, or it's a podcast. And on that note, everybody, this is take three, technically, of this week's edition of the Air Raid Podcast, brought to you by VivaTheMatadors.com. We've got Jonathan and Drew with us. Say hi for the second time, fellas.
Hello.
That's awesome. Drew is our recruiting guru. Jonathan, as always, is a great insight on team optimism. For those of y'all that are wondering what's going on, we just had about 40 minutes of conversation that failed to record, and that's on me. I'm also the genius that many of y'all probably hate for my Davis Webb comments and opinions. Both back in September with a case for Davis Webb when Mahomes was iffy on going against Baylor. One of y'all said, I'm going to throw my tickets in the trash if Davis Webb starts. And then obviously this latest one on thinking that he was going to transfer or wanting him to transfer and not waste his last year of eligibility. We've already talked about it, but let's talk about it some more. Because we just love talking about it. And hey, at least it's Davis Webb. It could be BM. We could be going for like the second or third time talking about BM, but it's Davis Webb, so it's not that bad.
I think you did it on purpose just because you want to talk about Davis some more, since you love him more than any other quarterback, even though you want him to leave.
You know, I will have to say he's probably second on quarterbacks that I've cheered for and really wanted to succeed. It's like Harrell, Webb, Simmons, Hodges, Potts, Sticks, Cumbie, Daigie. I mean, Mahomes is obviously not that far down, but I'm just going with the old school guys. But anyway, Drew, I know I went to you last time. I'm coming to you again. You read the post. You've seen the stuff by the Toledo Blade that said he's officially going. We've seen Davis Webb retract that. We've seen the negative comments. We've seen the positive comments. What's your take on the whole situation?
Yeah, I think when some of the viewers read it, they misread it, as in you were like, get on out of here. We don't want you anymore. You know, they read it as that, where we're saying, you know, hey, this guy is good. He deserves a chance to be a starter somewhere. We'll let him go do that. So I think it's perception. And then also, it seems like a lot of people are very greedy, and they want him all to themselves, whereas he could be at another school playing, you know, as the starting quarterback for another program. So I think it's just perception. And then if someone is all about the team, or if they're actually about the individuals that make up the team as well.
Yeah, you were. We had talked about it in round one about how a lot of them are saying that VTM needs to support Texas Tech Athletics. Yeah. And we're not supporting Texas Tech Athletics by running off players. And I'm glad that so many people think I have the confidence of Davis Webb. And we do talk like every night. You know, he calls me up and we go over you know, a playbook and everything. We're just that tight. But at the end of the day, it's going to be his decision. And I think by supporting the athlete, you are supporting Texas Tech athletics as a whole. Jonathan, what's your take on the whole situation?
I think a lot of the problem with the article was the readers didn't actually read the article. I think they read that top line, which is intended to pull somebody in, and that's exactly what it did, and you pulled everybody offside with that.
You know that the exact same thing happened in the other Davis Webb article.
Yes, no, nobody reads.
The case for Davis Webb, and the tagline is, Davis Webb is the quarterback Tech deserves, but not the one it needs right now.
Yes.
Which I think everybody would agree with. It's a Dark Knight reference for specifically for you, Jonathan. I put that in there just for you. And I'm glad to hear that you thought I was crazy at the first time you read that.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on with you because you were
I was new.
Pretty new. And I was like, man, what in the world is wrong with this guy? And then I actually read the article and I was like, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
So you're saying that people only read headlines, they don't read any content?
Yeah, it's a thing with the internet now is you click on an article for the headline and then you scroll down to the comments to get in a fight.
And welcome to
right.
How politics works in America.
And any article, whether it's on Facebook or Yahoo or CNN or anything, nobody reads what's in the middle.
No,
and we could probably put this scathing headline about how Cliff Kingsbury is the worst coach Tech has ever had, have an article full of why we love him and he's the best, and people would be commenting about why we hate Cliff and we want to bring down the institution. But as far as Davis goes, I'd like to see him succeed somewhere. If he really wants to go to another school to play and start and throw the ball around, go for it. Do what you want to do, Davis. I'm not sure if you're listening to this. We all hope that all of the players do. I know tonight we just got confirmation that we are going to be on iTunes.
Yes.
By the time that this one is released onto VTM, we should have the formal announcement about that.
Yeah. And speaking of that, guys, if we had one guy on the last pod respond on Twitter saying that he was about to make the trek from Dallas to Lubbock or vice versa, and that he wanted to download it and is it on iTunes because he couldn't get it from the site. And now you can download it directly to your phone. It'll download directly or automatically if you subscribe to it. So every time we put up a podcast, it'll go right to your phone. And if you're taking that long 6-hour trek from Dallas to Lubbock or the 9-hour one from Houston to Lubbock, there you go. You can listen to it 9 times in a row.
And definitely. And all the old ones that we've done since he started doing this, Ryan, are up there as well, all the way back to the Baylor one. So if you've missed out on any of them, go ahead and get those. There was some comedy gold, especially in the weeks of Baylor. We had the Sean Oakman talk. We had the space station talk.
That's no moon. It's a space station.
And then we had the Red Bull from Hunter.
Yes.
So all that should be in there. So
yes,
if you're feeling nostalgic.
Yeah. See what you miss, Drew, when you're not on. You miss Half Naked Hunter.
I got to hear.
The Overlord.
Got to hear Half Naked Hunter on podcast.
He actually obviously this is an audio call. He actually put the video up. It was scary. It was scary.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. It was
I'm about to drink a Red Bull. It's gonna get weird.
It's gonna get weird.
I'm gonna podcast with my shirt off. We're doing this. Half naked podcast. We do it for the kids. Holler at me. Make that hotline bling.
I think I've gotten over it by now. But I'm not sure.
You can't unsee that.
No, not at all.
You just can't.
We better watch out or the Supreme Chancellor is going to fire us all.
No, he'll just censor us like he does with everything I say. I'm surprised he didn't completely take down that web article.
Yeah, he probably should have.
Yeah.
But no, I want Davis to do what he wants to do. Whatever he decides to do, You know that most of Red Raider Nation is going to be completely supportive of him. I know there were some comments on the Facebook post of your article where people were like, oh, good, get rid of Noodle Arm. Or,
yeah, I saw that.
he can take all of his interceptions with him.
I'm sorry. I'm just gonna be devil's advocate here. I'm not saying one way or the other, but Mahomes had his fair share this year.
Yes, yeah, he had way more, especially at the beginning of the year.
Yeah,
when Cliff was saying how short of a leash they were going to be on.
Yeah, and you know, there's fumbles and everything. When you look at how many turnovers we forced on defense, and then you turn around and see that we're only like plus two or plus three for the year.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of turnover. So it's not just Webb. You can be a good quarterback and throw it 50 times a game and get picked off two or three times.
Right. But yeah, I want him to do what he wants to do. Wherever he goes, you know, we'll be behind him. Maybe we can even get him on a podcast if he's no longer a tech athlete.
Yeah. He probably doesn't like me either for starting all this. That's probably why he put out that nice tweet about I'm focused on LSU. I'm one play away. Hopefully there's not a Tonya Harding incident. That's just a joke. It's just a joke. Davis would never do that.
No, he would hire somebody else to do it.
No, he wouldn't. Davis is too amazing for that. We don't want to run away players, okay, Jonathan?
We're not. You apparently do.
Yeah, I do. DeAndre, if you're listening, you get out of here too. I want you to succeed somewhere other than Texas Tech. Go ahead. Take your talents to the NFL. Just go. We don't need you anymore. It's a little joke because he's graduating. We've talked about. I feel like we've talked about this over and over again. Where if he does end up transferring, if Webb decides, hey, I really want to try and go pro. At least, you know, everybody's, even Kingsbury's told me that I have the talent and I want to go somewhere and try to get some more playing experience before I enter the combine or whatever.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
Drew, where do you think he'll end up?
I would say Bowling Green would be the front runner at the moment. And then, you know, just because of jinx and familiarity. And then if not there, I could see somewhere in state. You know, he's from Prosper, so maybe, you know, UNT with Graham going there. And then, you know, I know earlier, I'll repeat it, SMU, you know, they were horrible this year. And so their quarterback situation can't be all that great either. So, you know, maybe somewhere like UNT, SMU, if not Bowling Green, even though there are numerous other programs he could go to and start for. I would see him staying close to home or going somewhere where he has some, you know, familiarity with the coaching staff.
So TCU, great. Awesome.
Besides, no TCU.
Hey, close to home, Cumbie. Yeah, it's good. Yeah,
we block his transfer for that.
Jonathan, what about you? Where do you think he'll end up?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Drew on this one. I do think Bowling Green is the front runner. I know me and him were making the suggestion about it even before that Toledo Blade put that out there. And we were like, hey, we called that. But he's right. It's going to be either familiarity or being close to home. But if there is a school that really needs a quarterback and tries to court him, that's not necessarily in the close proximity to DFW, maybe somewhere in South Texas. I don't know what the quarterback situations are for someone like UT San Antonio or Sam Houston State or Texas State, somebody like that. But I do think if he doesn't go to Bowling Green, he will stay in Texas.
Okay. I'm with y'all. I think it's got to be Bowling Green. He may throw a curve at us and do something crazy, and I can see him going out west a little bit where they throw the ball around a little bit. But Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can go up and down Big 12, and just from should I transfer or not, and see how many teams would love Davis Webb. Whether, you know, obviously we'd block to transfer, but Kansas, Iowa State, I'd say Oklahoma State, I would say Texas, TCU,
Kansas State.
Kansas State. I mean, wait, we're at seven.
Yeah.
We're at seven. And the only ones that we didn't mention were Tech, Baylor, and OU. You know, you do that math, and I think he's going to sit there and say, you know, I've done all I can for Tech. I love Tech. Because I'm transferring does not mean that I don't want to be at Tech. It's just the situation, and I've got to do what's best for me. So,
I'll throw a curveball at you. What about Arizona State?
Yeah.
Their quarterback is a senior.
Yeah, but it would be blocked.
You think so?
Because we play him next year.
I know.
And we play him the next 2 years. So even if he sat out a year, it would – yeah, I don't know about that. He would have to sit at least a year. Yeah, how would that work? He would sit a year for the year that we go to Arizona, and then he'd play when they come to Lubbock.
Yep.
That would not end well.
So he'd be like a six-year senior?
Fifth year.
Yeah, that's true.
He'd be a fifth-year senior going up against a senior Patrick Mahomes. I'd pay to watch that.
Oh yeah,
but I don't think it would. I don't think it would be good for anybody. I was thinking more along the lines of, like a Colorado State, or even sneaking into a pack lower level Pac-12 school.
Do y'all think he could start at LSU right now?
Yes.
What if he went to LSU?
I'm okay with it.
He would get a lot of national exposure.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the only downside there is I don't think the play calling, they would change the play calling based on him being quarterback.
Especially for just 1 year.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna pass it any more than they have to, and that's the thing that you have to be really excited about. We're not obviously in bowl prep just yet, but if you can get a lead against LSU, you basically, well, I mean, it is our defense, but you basically have the game because they are not built to come from behind. They are built to get out in front and just wear you down and stay out in front. They can't, you know, erase. Again, it is our defense, but they're not built to erase a 14-point deficit quickly. So that is, you know, something good. But yeah, he could start at LSU. I would dare to say that he could start at A&M right now with their quarterback situation. And that's what I'm saying. You look around, and he was an Elite 11 participant in high school. He was Gary Patterson wanted him, a couple others. He stayed at Tech, showed his, you know, he said, I'm not going anywhere. Apparently, Drew, he does know the definition of commitment.
Yeah.
Once you commit, you're not leaving. But I think he could almost start anywhere he wanted to. And the good news is, if it's out of conference, he'll play right away. He won't have to sit regardless. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about this a lot. We keep saying, you know, he'll have to graduate to go somewhere and play immediately. But Brewer left to go to VaTech, and he played immediately. He was a sophomore and played 2 years at VaTech. So I think just depending on where you're going and, you know, not being on the schedule, he'll be able to do whatever he wants. But speaking of Bowling Green, kind of got shell-shocked with a little bit of more coaching carousel news where Mike Jinks has been hired at Bowling Green. And kind of came out of the blue. We weren't really expecting it. We probably knew something in the back of our minds was going to happen in the next couple of years. But are you surprised that he chose Bowling Green?
Drew? I think they're a good, you know, tier two program. Didn't they just win the MAC?
Yeah, yes. They're MAC champions. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's somewhere that you'd want to go to, you know, springboard that into, you know, a Power Five coaching gig. So, I mean, I applaud them, and I'm sure Bowling Green, you know, they're wanting to get a pipeline into Texas for recruits, because, you know, I highly doubt they have that many top tier recruits coming to their program from the state of Texas. Whereas Jinx, you know, you might as well call Texas Tech still university with the amount of people he's been able to recruit to Tech, you know, with Stockton. And then we have Xavier Martin, 17. We have Dinley and Cox coming in the 16 class. So, I mean, the guy's a good, you know, he's familiar with all the coaches in Texas. He was just a high school coach not too long ago. So I think it's a good fit for both him and the program. You know, for him, he can use it as a springboard to get to Power Five, and for the school, it's their way to reach into that Texas pipeline.
That's a great point, Jonathan. Do you agree with that, or would you have preferred him to go to maybe wait it out and see about a different possibility?
I think he jumped at the chance. He's hot right now. Being a college or a high school coach just 3 years ago, now he's jumped all the way from an assistant on a Power Five team, where he was. I know he's called the running backs coach, but I know a lot of people say that just means you're a recruiter. Now he's a head coach for a MAC champion, because their head coach, I believe, went to Rutgers. So it's a good jump for him. I hope everything works out. I know in the past, some really, really good high school coaches have jumped to a head coach in the college ranks, and it did not work out at well. I'm looking at you, Todd Dodge. Then again, he just went to UNT. Mike is inheriting a conference champion, so a little bit different
it's hard,
there.
It's hard to win, then, I will say.
Yes.
And just a quick correction. Bowling Green, he went to, I believe, Central Florida, or was it Rutgers? I thought Rutgers got one of the Ohio State guys.
Rutgers did get got Scott Montgomery, Tom Herman protege.
And then where did Bowling Green go? South Florida or UCF? Or no, he went to Syracuse.
That's right, it was Syracuse.
Yeah, Syracuse.
Yeah.
So I just didn't want to have any commenters be like, "Oh, you guys, what are you talking about?"
Who did Iowa State pick up? They picked up
Toledo's
someone.
Coach.
Toledo, that's right.
Yeah.
Toledo, Bowling Green, same thing.
Yeah.
But it'll be good for Mike. I hope that our Steel commits don't flip to him and follow their mentor. I do think they will stay. I hope, anyways. But yeah, it could get them a nice pipeline into South Texas, which for them would be great, and for the rest of Texas would be not so great.
That's true. That's true. I was a little surprised. I thought. You know, you look around at some assistants that were hot at one time and then seemed to cool off, and that they missed their opportunity, their window. And I'll be the first to say that I still thought Kirby Smart was a great assistant, but I thought his window had kind of passed, that he wasn't as hot as he was in 09 and 10 and back then. Because I believe there was some talk, at least rumors, that when we got James Willis from Alabama to be our DC, before Tuberville was even hired, that, you know, maybe they try to go and try to get Kirby Smart. But now he's kind of bided his time, and now he just kind of moves down the, you know, stayed over to Georgia and is the head man there, so... I was thinking he was going to kind of tap the brakes and say, "I'm going to see what else comes along and keep working with my guys, and maybe in a year or two go somewhere that wasn't just tier two." But, you know, you and Drew both make a great point, Jonathan, about it's a great place to try and get that stepping stone to a bigger program. So a lot of good stuff there. Speaking of transfers and carousels and all that stuff, again, for those of you that don't know, Drew is our recruiting guy. You can follow his recruiting roundup every week. When is that published, Drew?
Wednesday afternoon.
Follow his recruiting roundup. And he kind of fills you in on all the commits and decommits and transfers and all that. And a lot of people have been asking. We've got a couple of transfers coming in. I know we've been talking about Davis Webb possibly leaving, but we have a couple of guys coming in. Last year it was Mike Mitchell. Well, 2 years ago, Mike Mitchell. This year we've got two. Who are those, Drew?
Yeah, it's Pipkins, the DT from Michigan. He was a really high sought-after recruit. And then Colin Hill from Notre Dame. I believe it was a three-star coming out of high school as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I think Colin Hill is a defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
And then Andre Pipkins is a defensive tackle. So you're getting more defensive help there on the defensive line already on top of – I think we have – how many – do we have eight defensive line recruits?
Yeah, we have eight D-line recruits and maybe three, four outside linebacker recruits. But, yeah, it's – I know eight D-line recruits for sure.
Yeah, so you have Colin Hill, who's a three-star out of Notre Dame, defensive end. He's a sophomore. Pipkins actually is a senior. He'll only have 1 year of eligibility, but he's a defensive tackle. Should be add some stability there next to Fehoko. Do you expect him to start immediately?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know what to expect from him because I know the main reason he's transferring because he had, I think, a neck injury or maybe multiple concussions, something along those lines. And I remember when Harbaugh got there, he wanted him to basically not play football, and they would – you know, award his scholarship, but they were going to do something to basically free up his on the field scholarship, but they would still honor his scholarship for off the field. And so, and he said he was cleared by his doctors to play. Yeah. And so that's why he's transferring. So I'm not sure what to really expect from him.
I think it was his knee because in 2013 he tore his ACL and then he was diagnosed with arthritis in his knee.
And then I thought it was his, like he did that, and then I thought he got like banged up like again on top of that.
Oh really?
Yeah, I think he just had like a string of bad luck.
Okay.
I know he had a neck injury, I think, as a freshman, and he had to get carted off the field at practice. It was somewhat serious at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, there, especially when you're talking about a senior, I would caution fans from jumping to too many, oh my goodness, we're getting a former five-star recruit. There's a reason why they're transferring this late, and that would just be things didn't work out, whether it's injuries or, like in the case of Davis Webb, you know, they're just – someone came out and is playing just out of this world. I still don't think Pat Mahomes plays this as well as he's shown – all the time. I think he's still playing above his ability a little bit. But they're still good. They still have some potential. They can still work in. And what about Colin Hill, Drew? Where do you see him fitting in, especially because we have Mitchell, who didn't get to play a whole lot this year. But where do you see Colin Hill kind of squeeze in?
Clouded this boy's future is.
Yeah, I think he seemed, I know he's listed as a DN, but I think he's more of kind of that hybrid type of position, because if I remember correctly, I think I remembered seeing him, and he looks, you know, slimmer than, you know, your average DN. And I think the main reason he's transferring is kind of PT based, you know. I know he got some playing time, but it hasn't been, like, I guess, enough to his liking. So I know that he's that's one of the reasons. And then, you know, he's coming back home. He's from Texas. So I see him being kind of more of that hybrid, you know, not down on the line every single snap.
So trying to fill in that Pete Robertson role.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to get – I mean, because that's what they were wanting out of Mitchell, right, when they moved him – down to that spot.
Yeah, I think they're gonna have to go back to the drawing board on that.
Yeah, I mean I keep hearing that he is a yeah, athletic freak, Mitchell, that is. But I don't know, maybe you just move him back to linebacker, and with all these other guys coming up, you just let him play where he's comfortable. But I'm excited about both of these guys, even if Pipkins can just kind of add some rotational help while some of these younger guys get up to speed. And then Hill, I'm with you. I think I can see them working him in more in that hybrid spot right away and getting some pass rush. Jonathan, what have you heard where do you see Colin especially kind of fitting in?
I think you're right with kind of replacing Pete a little bit. I am going to be interested in seeing how this year's defense works out. If there was, in fact, a little bit of a division between how Mike Smith wanted to run things and how Gibbs is going to run things. I could see Gibbs maybe giving a little bit of slack, a little leeway to Mike. And now I think we're going to see more of a exactly what Gibbs wants. So I don't know what we're going to see exactly this year. But I do think that we're going to see Mitchell. We better see Mitchell. I know people are already commenting about, hey, where's Mike Mitchell? Why isn't he playing? And we really haven't been able to give anybody any answers because there haven't been any answers. Everything from, oh, he's a little bit banged up, to he just hasn't learned the offense yet, hasn't had good practices. And it's not like he never played. He was in a few plays. I think he even got a penalty in that last game against UT. I think he had a hit a guy out of bounds or something.
Yeah, he was definitely on special teams that game.
Right. So he's obviously – he can play. The question is, why isn't he playing and where is he going to fit in to play? So I do hope that we start to see some of that. It'll be good to see what he can do at the spring game. I know last spring game, I think we even talked about this last week, how much of a freak he was, because he was the first one down the field pretty much every single kick. It was he's that fast as a linebacker. So I do want to see what he can do with Gibbs and the defense, and hopefully whoever Gibbs brings in to coach, whether it'll be the D-line or the linebackers for him, we can see some good stuff out of that guy.
Either way, I'm excited. You know, it's one of those things where we're getting closer to bowl time. I really want to get to the bowl game already. I want to see how this plays out. I'm just it's just kind of dragging along right now with nothing to do.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, let's get spring practice going, like, already. is it too early? I know it's going to get here before we know it. We got a lot of other stuff to cover and do all that stuff, but it's kind of like, because this season didn't quite go the way some of us wanted it to. I know a lot of fans and readers were talking about how it's not just winning or losing, it's the manner in which we're winning and losing that's making them angry, like the Texas game. A lot of them were upset about the Texas game, not because we won, but because the game was a lot closer than it should have been. I'm like, yeah, you can be upset about that, but we hadn't won in Austin since 97.
Right.
Those types of things where wins were too close, were a lot closer than they should have been, and losses were, we still should have won that game or whatever. But I'm excited. I'm ready to see how it all plays out with the new guys and see, Mahomes with another spring under his belt.
Has anyone heard anything about him and baseball this year? If he's going to fully participate or partially participate?
I haven't heard anything. I'm always worried about it because he is a pitcher, and being a pitcher, UCL can go at any time. It doesn't matter whether you have good mechanics, bad mechanics. It's kind of like just tread on a tire. Just one pitch will do it. And then he's out for a year and a half. And then all of a sudden we're like, where's Davis? Oh, he's in Bowling Green. Okay. All right, Nick, you're up, buddy.
Yeah, I'll be on the lookout for that, see if I can find anything on that, and let y'all know.
That might be, and y'all saw the new turf they put in at Dan Law, didn't y'all?
It looks good.
I was surprised that they actually made the dirt black.
Yeah, it's going to be hot.
That is going to be hot. I was like, man, what are y'all doing? I know the whole red and black, it looks pretty tight, but goodness gracious, the heat coming off that, it's going to be
the incredible. Middle infield's feet are just going to be on fire in the summertime. You're going to see them playing in short left and short right.
You're like, man, our guys are fast. So they can't stay still for very long. Just look at the flames come off their shoes, man.
It'll be a good home field advantage.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and
the other teams will get out there and we'll just start laughing at them.
Oh, yeah. I don't think – I wonder – someone needs to track how many times we'll wear black jerseys at home this year. I doubt it's more than once. I think you maybe in February when it's really cold, but as it gets hotter, I think you're going to be seeing a lot of white. I mean, we were supposed to go into movie talk. We didn't really address it. This time when the recording's actually working.
Yeah, it's about this time last time when you realized it wasn't recording.
Yeah, I was like, hold up. Drew, that is very, very profound what you're saying, but I've got to stop you because I'm not recording any of it. No, but the intro I'm still going to do, the Star Wars stuff because the new movie's coming out. Jonathan, I know you're a big Star Wars fan. Got a lot of memorabilia. What was that? All right, shut up. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in editing? But just real quick, since I have you, because we've disagreed on a lot of movies.
Yes, we have.
And part of it is just getting you riled up. Part of it is I actually disagree with you on some things. Drew, have you been following any of that?
Yeah, I see the back and forth through Slack and on some of the posts.
Which side do you fall on?
I mean, I don't... What are some of the movies y'all don't agree on?
Okay, so we were talking... about... I think The Dark Knight Rises was the first one. And I knew Jonathan was a big Christopher Nolan Dark Knight trilogy fan. And I just basically said, Christopher Nolan is a hack because he stole the entire premise of The Dark Knight Rises from Rocky III.
Mute.
And he just went, I'm sorry, excuse me. I was like, no, it's exact. Okay, you have Rocky. He loses to Mr. T just like Batman loses to Bane. He goes into the slums of L.A. to regain his strength in the Eye of the Tiger just like Bruce goes into the prison and he's got to, you know, got to fear death again.
Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
And then he comes out and he has this triumphant, really quick battle with Bane and just like Rocky does with Mr. T, and he wins and it's over and it's completely hack. He had not anything original in that, and that's what started it. And then we went, what was the next one that we went to?
I said I liked Rocky IV more than III.
Yeah, and that was just not good. And then we went to Star Wars and I said, I was surprised at y'all thought the Davis Webb articles was bad. Wait till people hear this comment that comes out of my mouth right now. I'm going to get so much hate on the comments. Just you watch. Everybody pay attention. I can't believe that for a 6-movie franchise where only one of the movies have been considered any good, like good. Most of them are just kind of like, yeah, it's good. And it's more of the six as a whole, not just individual movies, but only one, The Empire Strikes Back, is considered good, and yet they're this excited for the next one. I mean, that's surprising. And I think Jonathan just went, okay, you just need to stop talking.
I think it's because all the people that grew up watching it are now, like, old, and now they have kids, too, and now they're trying to get their kids hyped into it. And since Disney has it, I think that has a lot to do with all the hype. I mean, I'm not a big Star Wars person at all. Like, I won't be going to watch it or anything. But I think a lot of the people growing up, that's where a bunch of the hype's coming from. And since Disney has it, they're aiming towards kids. And I know they have, like, Star Wars Legos and all that crap. So,
yeah, they've had that for a while. And, you know, you just kind of, in just regular pop culture, how much does the first, you know, the prequel, as it was, the trilogy, the pre-trilogy, how much crap does that get in just normal pop culture, even from geeks and sci-fi buffs and the Comic-Con crowd? They make fun of that trilogy as a whole, especially the first episode, and yet they still love Star Wars. You'll sit there and go, hey, let's put on episode one. They'll be like, yes, let's do it. Let's make fun of Jar Jar Binks. And it's just like, I don't get it. And I actually thought episode one was the best one of the first three.
But episode one is completely pointless.
You say that.
Because every character in that episode is either killed or developed much better later on.
Somebody
that's never watched Star Wars doesn't need to watch episode one.
I'm gonna tell you why you're wrong, okay? And okay, yes, we've gotten completely off of football right now, but I'm gonna tell you why you're wrong. Two words: Liam frickin' Neeson. Okay, yes, that was three words. Liam Neeson makes that movie. I don't care what you say.
But he was completely written out. They never mention him. They mention him once. They mention his character once. You never see him again.
It does not matter. Liam Neeson is in a movie. You watch it. And you take in the greatness that is Liam Neeson.
And you said that only one of the six movies is considered good?
Well, yeah, like great. Like the Empire Strikes Back. Everything else is kind of like it's okay. I mean, they enjoy it, but it didn't get the... It's kind of like in the Dark Knight trilogy, only one is considered exceptional, and that's the Dark Knight. Batman True. Begins is kind of eh. Dark Knight Rises is kind of eh. It's good movies, but it's nowhere near the level of that second one. So and that's why I say it. And if people really hated episode one all that much, how people got excited for two and three, and now seven, when everybody's old, like Drew said, not like just not just fans, but like the actors.
Everybody knows the Transformers movies are horrible.
Yeah,
and they still go to see them.
I go to see them to listen to the new Linkin Park single. I don't know what anybody else does, but that's why I go to see the Transformers movies. I know Drew's like, why did I get on this podcast? I could have been on any other podcast, but I had to get on this podcast. So at first I get home from shopping. I race home and I get on. Next thing they tell me after talking for 40 minutes that they're not recording. Then they talk for 35 minutes and then they get off on this spiel about Star Wars. I'm going to hang up now.
Well, the reason I got on, since now we're on iTunes, that's why I wanted to hop on.
Okay. I got you.
That's the only reason.
Yeah. If y'all didn't get that, iTunes, I'm pretty excited about that. I guess if Hunter was thinking about firing me like everybody wanted, I guess this will keep me around.
At least for a little bit.
Yeah. Until he realizes now that I actually have it on iTunes, I don't need Ryan anymore.
Once he gets the hang of how to set everything up.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, go ahead and fill Drew in on how to do everything on that end. And
we're going to need you to write a description of what you do here.
What would you say you do here?
I talk to the engineer so the customers don't have to.
Can we agree that that is a good movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I might edit all that out and just put the clip in. You just never know. And like I said before in the other one, Jonathan, every time you talk on this, it could be Chewbacca.
That's fine.
Never know. Or me. One of the two. But
you could say, and now we cut to Hunter, and then just have that.
Hunter, did you have something to say? That's interesting. Interesting. Great point. Great point there, Hunter.
Hunter should be Darth Vader.
We could do it probably. It would take a long time, but we could probably do an entire pod and get each character for each staff member and us just have a conversation. You know, I talk about someone badmouths the defense, and then Hunter comes in with, I find your lack of faith disturbing. And, you know, we could do that. I know Hunter wanted to do the 12 Days of Christmas actually on Skype with all of us recording it, like different lines. But I think he realized how tone deaf we are in that movie. Not very well.
And the fact that he never wants to be on a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we were beginning to think, Drew, that no one wanted to talk to me. Nobody wanted to talk to me. It's just Jonathan, and he did that just because he felt sorry.
Out of pity, yeah.
Yeah, he felt sorry for me. He's like, no one's going to listen to this if it's just Ryan.
Didn't you do one by yourself?
I did not. Wes did. Hey. Wes did. Hey. I refused to do one by myself.
You might as well have last week.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that was... Chance for Redemption, Jonathan. The preview podcast for the bowl game, which
you said Tremaine's coming on.
Yeah, Tremaine wants to get on. I actually would like to get two of them. Maybe Tremaine and Mickey on the same one.
That would be cool.
That may be too much former Tech players, but I thought that would be cool to see their interaction and talking. But I'm hoping to do.
Do we have a date for the preview?
I'm wanting to do it the 23rd. It's kind of thrown off. I mean, you know, we could do a pod on the 20th, but then that's 9 days before.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do anything between Christmas and
the bowl.
And the bowl. And I want to get the post pod done on the 30th.
Okay.
Before New Year's. And, you know, it's so people don't have to worry about that. And that would give people enough time, especially if for the pod we do get Mickey, we get Drew, we get Tremaine. I'll try to get Brandon Carter on here. We'll get all three. I don't care how many people are on here. I will put as many people as Skype will let me. And we'll just run with it. Who knows? We may just have a rotation where we have Mickey for 15 minutes and then Tremaine for 15 minutes and then whoever and rotate people in. But hopefully, Drew, hopefully you're on next time, at least for the preview pod. I don't know if we'll do one between now and the preview, but
I guess we'll see what happens this week.
Yeah, if there's big changes with transfers or coaches coming in, you know, I'm really sad we missed out on Ruffin McNeil.
Yeah, that would have been a good get.
That would have been a huge get. I mean, I know of former players that are ready to suit up to go play for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Mickey had any eligibility left, he'd say, I'll play defense. I'll play defense for you.
I saw their old quarterback, Shane Carden, that was at ECU. I saw him tweeting last week, and he was pissed off.
Yeah. Someone brought up a good point about Ruffin. Is he swept their in-state rivals, I think, last year. He had a 10-win season. This is, I think, his first losing season since he's been on the job, mm-hmm. and they fire him.
Yep.
And he's an alum. He's brought, you know, he's done great things for that university.
Didn't they get hit with injuries this year, too?
Well, I think regardless of whether they got hit with injuries or not, the big thing that hurt them was Lincoln Riley leaving.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
they went from, I think, fifth in total offense to in the 20s. They dropped pretty substantially. So, but having said that, I will let y'all go. I do have to edit this and make it seem somewhat coherent through the two or three times we've tried this. Drew, I promise the next time you are on, it'll be a much more streamlined process. Former players, come on back, because I like talking to you. I like getting your opinion, especially on the recruits. And, yeah, any closing thoughts, guys?
Nope. I'm good.
I think I'm good as well. Yeah, I think if Webb transfers, I don't think it will be until after the bowl game.
Yeah, I think you're right at this point. I think he's going to wait for see if he needs to become the hero. Yeah. I think we talked about it. What happens if Mahomes goes down, heaven forbid, in the bowl game? Davis pulls a Holiday Bowl out of his hat and leads the team back to win that game? And is there an open competition in the spring at that point?
Yeah, and plus, I don't think he wants to bring any attention to, you know, any distractions to the program right now.
Because there aren't enough already. Hey, where's my running backs coach? Oh.
Where are all my defensive assistants?
Hey, yeah, where's my D-line coach that recruited me?
Oh.
He's in Buffalo. Working with Matt Ryan. Yeah, not yet, but soon. Soon. Mark my words, soon. But anyway, guys, I really appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your extra time. Drew, thank you for putting up with the little Star Wars talk. But yeah. I appreciate it. We will be on maybe in a week, maybe in a week and a half. We'll see what the Overlord Hunter Cook says about when we need to do another one. But until then, you can again follow Drew on Twitter. Oh, crap, I don't have it off the top of my head. Drew, what's your Twitter handle?
At Drew Borsellino. Borsellino.
Perfect. Got it. And you can follow Jonathan. Jonathan, what's your Twitter?
JON1443.
And you can send your hate mail to me at AVCoachSmith. Put your comments in the bottom. We've been getting some great comments. We are working on some of the ideas that y'all have given us about player breakdowns and, you know, going forward into the spring, we're going to try to bring as much of that to you. If you have another topic that you want to add, that you want us to talk about or spout off about, put that in the comments as well. We will get to it and try to make it fun for y'all. We want y'all to have a voice in what we're talking about. So we appreciate that. And we'll see you next time. Say goodbye, guys.
See you later.
See you guys.
Wreck 'em.